Now we come to the 25th chapter of the book of Numbers, and you see probably the most subtle and satanic and hellish thing about what this man Balaam really did. Now, we have discovered here, we had first of all the way of Balaam. That was the way of covetousness. He was after the almighty dollar, and he'd be willing to sacrifice his principles for that. And then in the book of Jude, we're told about the error of Balaam. And the error of Balaam was that he was not aware of the fact that God could declare righteous sinners who trust him. And that is something that there are multitudes today sitting in pews and standing in pulpits are not aware of, that God justifies sinners today, declares them righteous by simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, the most damnable thing that this man did is told in Revelation 2:14, where it says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Now, when he saw he could not curse them, he taught Balak, he taught him how that he might curse these people. And you know how it was? It was to get into the camp. In other words, it's sort of like they talk about City Hall. When you can't fight City Hall, then you join it. Well, he couldn't fight these people, so now he's going to join them and corrupt them from within. So let me read this section here. It's rather important in that connection. "And Israel abode in Chittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." Now, Balak was the king of Moab. Now, you see what he did. He said, "I can't curse them, and I can tell you what you can do. You can go down there now and attempt to communicate with them and to integrate with them and to intermarry with them and introduce idolatry to these people and turn them away from their God. And they called the people under the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods." They said to Israel at first, "Don't be a bunch of squares. Don't be so narrow-minded. We want to be broad-minded. You come over and worship with us." The interesting thing, they never went and worshiped with the children of Israel. I've always been interested in the liberal in the church today. He always talks about wanting me as a fundamentalist to come over on his side and agree with him. But you know, I've never been able to get him to come over on my side and agree with me. And yet he's supposed to be the broad-minded fella, and I'm the narrow-minded fella. The very interesting thing is, friends, that the tendency of the human heart is always downward and away from God. And that's the reason today that rackets prosper, religious rackets prosper. And that's the reason that we have radio religious rackets. We have church religious rackets. We have organizations. We have actually schools today. There are nothing in the world but religious rackets, friends. And somebody says, "Yes, but look how people support them." Well, yes, the natural man, these things appeal to them. And that's the reason some people think I'm pretty foolish just to teach the Bible. A man said to me, he said, "Why don't you broaden out and introduce certain other programs?" And I had a letter recently. Now you could put in a program to return to the home. And my, what a program he had outlined for me. You see, there's always that tendency to introduce something else other than the Word of God. Because these things, I'll be very frank with you, they'll prosper. I find that we operate on a shoestring. And we are satisfied with our accommodations. They're not luxurious, but they certainly are adequate for us. We're not complaining. But we see these folk in luxurious accommodations, living high on the hog, if you please. And we struggle along. And somebody said, "Well, it's like the Lord let you down." No, this is the way it goes today, friends. I'm very sorry to have to tell you, this is the way it is. And therefore, old Balaam knew he could corrupt the people by getting a religious racket going. If he could get the children of Israel to turn to the worship of Balaam. And that's exactly what happened. Notice what happens, verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people, hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that are joined unto Baal Peor. You say that's extreme remedy. It certainly is. And you know why? Because the disease is fatal. It'll turn a man away from God and send him to hell. And therefore, what God was doing was an act of mercy to save the nation Israel. And we find there in verse 9, and those that died in the plague were 20,000. You see, that's the way that Balaam was able to curse Israel. And this is the doctrine of Balaam. And it got into the church. That's what the Lord says in Revelation 2:14. It got into the church. And it's in the church today. Now, my viewpoint is that you can't hurt God's people or God's work or God's church today from the outside. The church has never been hurt from the outside. The world in Pergamos came in like a flood, and the devil joined the church. And this is a great principle, I think, that's applicable to all relationships. You know, our country today, after World War II, we stuck up missiles everywhere and had a dew line across the Arctic, everything to keep the enemy from the outside. And what happened? We began to fall from the inside, and there was a moral decay, the like of which we've never seen. And today we find revolutionaries on the inside of our nation today. We'll be destroyed from within. Rome didn't fall from the outside. No enemy from the outside destroyed Rome. But Rome fell from within. And the church cannot be hurt from the outside. But it certainly can be hurt from within. And I find out that the same is true of any work today. It's always hurt from the inside and never from the outside. Have you ever noticed that the Lord Jesus was betrayed from the inside? It wasn't a Roman soldier that betrayed him. It was one of the apostles who betrayed him. And then his own nation turned him over to Rome to be crucified. Always, Jesus is betrayed from the inside. And friends, that's true today. That's the doctrine of Balaam, and it's a damnable doctrine, of course.